So far, we've looked at why the spiritual well-being of frontline care staff is so important, why it builds resilience in the emotionally demanding environment of social and healthcare. I hope you've enjoyed trying out some of the practical ways that can help you cope day to day. So today we're going to go a bit deeper and hear about one healthcare worker's experiences of a really difficult and emotional situation, what it felt like and what she did to look after her own needs and spiritual well-being. Ellie's story is a good example of why it's important to be aware of your needs and to look after your spiritual well-being. It's a positive story which shows how Ellie draws strength from her experience to help her in the future.
Hello, Ellie. Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and the role that you do?
So I'm Ellie. I'm a third year student nurse at the University of Edinburgh. I started my nursing degree straight from school and I spend half my time out on placements in the local area.
That's great. Can you give us some examples of the sorts of things you experience day to day and maybe how you look after yourself?
Yeah, so whilst I'm out on placements, I meet lots of patients obviously, and sometimes things don't always go great or how you want them to. I think a good example is if a patient falls when you're transferring them, it's quite a stressful situation. So afterwards, I would just take some time out, you know, have a bit of quiet time just to reflect on that and make sure I'm okay. And then,
and what happens if you don't look after yourself, if you don't take care of those emotional stresses?
I think they're quite small things. So sometimes it can be easy to not think about looking after yourself after them. But after a whole day on shift, they can really build up. And if you don't take care of them at the time, then you have this big build-up and it's almost like a bit of a burnout.
So can you tell us about a situation where maybe you found yourself needing a bit of extra support?
So earlier this year, I was on my district nurse placement and it was the first time I'd experienced a patient who was in palliative care, so end-of-life care. I spent my 6 weeks with them. I would see them most days, that patient. And so sort of started to get to know them as a person. And towards the end of my placement, it was quite clear that it was coming to the end of their life. And so that was quite hard to deal with. And I think I turned to my mentors, my lecturers to talk to.
So how did this experience make you feel?
It was quite a strange feeling, actually, because I'd got to know patients in previous placements and, you know, built a relationship with them. But it was like a grief that I felt, but I wasn't sure if I should be feeling it or if it was okay to feel it. And so I'd go home sometimes after my placement and just be upset, but I wasn't sure if I should be upset.
What did you do then to look after your own emotional needs?
I talked to people. I would talk to my mum and my liaison lecturer, colleagues on the ward sometimes. And just accepting the fact that it was okay to be sad. It was okay to go home after a shift and say, I've had a bad day. Just doing things that I really enjoyed doing outside of placement to take my mind off it. I love swimming, so just going for a swim.
Is there anything that you do on the course that you learn how to look after yourself?
So we do a lot of reflective practice. After every placement, we're asked to write something or make something to reflect on what we've learned and how we felt during that placement. So I wrote a poem at the end of my placement just to try and get my feelings out, because I think once they're out, you can use them in a positive way then.
Ellie, can I ask you to read your poem for us?
Yeah, so my poem's called Annie. I see tiredness and fear as I look into your eyes, so I take your shaking hand and place it straight into mine. Every time we speak, you say I make your day. I was so shy at first, I didn't know what to say. My words were slow and jumbled, what did you want to hear? You liked hearing about my friends, it seemed, and what I'd learnt this year. I liked washing your hair as you'd hum with happiness, because we laughed about my weekend and all my clumsiness. The professional code states that we're not meant to be friends, but I've looked after you for weeks, and now we've reached the end. Your family couldn't make it in time, they live too far away, so it's just you and I sitting here, it's a bright and sunny day. You say something so quietly, so I listen for the words. They're the last thing that you spoke, so I make sure that they're heard. I didn't get to meet you when your body was on your side, the view of patients' lives that nurses often get denied. You told me stories of the younger you and the family that you'd raised. As I did things you once did for yourself, you pretended you weren't fazed. You were the first one to leave me, the first hand I held to the end. And despite my student nurse badge, I thought of you as a friend. I've sat with many others now, given them comfort by being there. But the room still goes cold each time, as if it's suddenly all bare. Every time I wipe the tears away that have fallen without consent, and I remember why I chose this path and what being your nurse meant.
Thank you, Ellie. That was really nice. How did writing a poem help you?
It helped me because I think if I'd kept those emotions inside, they would be a sad memory. But now I've put them into something else and I can read it and look at it as a positive thing that helped me grow as a student nurse. And, you know, it's a nice way to remember that patient that I did care about and I did get to meet.
You seem to have learned a lot from that experience, Ellie. I wonder if there are any tips or advice you could give to other young professionals who might find themselves in a similar situation. What would be your top three?
So firstly, to talk to people, talk to your family or friends or a colleague. Once you start talking about the way you feel, it's easier to understand why you feel like that and how you can move past it. Secondly, to accept how you're feeling. It's okay to be sad, to have a little cry. Accepting your feelings makes them easier to process and you don't just drag them on and maybe burn out eventually from having too many of them. And thirdly, to reflect on it as a positive thing. Remember that you have helped someone when they need you. And although it's made you sad at the time, maybe you have been there for them when they really needed someone. And that is a positive thing to look back on. And it's a good memory to have.
Listening to Ellie, you might have found some connections with experiences of your own. Ellie's clearly aware of how hard it is to balance her professional self with her emotional self. You know, her reflective poem shows a sensitive and a caring professional responding to Annie. She supports Annie through the sharing of stories, through listening and even laughing together. Ellie also comes to acknowledge her own emotions, and it's okay to be sad. In fact, she highlights how important it is to find ways to express and let out those feelings. Finally, her top tips for looking after your spiritual well-being are to talk to people, you know, colleagues, supervisors, family, to acknowledge and accept that it's okay to be sad, and to use reflective practice to learn from your experiences. Now, it's your turn. So every day, care workers experience emotional moments, you know, big and small. Ask one of your colleagues about an emotional experience that they've had at work. Try to arrange a conversation at a quiet time, like during a break. Ask them about how an emotional experience affected them and what they did to look after their spiritual needs and well-being. Ask them about how they balance their professional self with their emotional self. And finally, ask them for one piece of advice or their top tip for looking after your spiritual well-being. Hopefully today's given you some insights into the sorts of emotional experiences that care staff encounter. In the next episode, we'll explore the different arrangements that organisations provide to support staff through those experiences.